Rivers Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Happy Wednesday, everyone, with Marty Baron and Brian Duff. We are rolling through the peak of the cottage season in the NHL. And let me just say, I feel like we're on the cusp of the breaking point, Marty.
We are. We are definitely on the cusp of the breaking point.
Like, we're staring down other people's clickbait and trying to figure out whether it should be used within the confines of this show or whether we should step back and continue harnessing what's left of our own brain power.
Well, there's a lot we can do
the rest of this month of August.
And I'll tell you this, two reasons where I believe the cottage season is coming to an end. Number one, every time the Erie County Fair goes on here in Buffalo and is coming to an end, like it is ending this weekend, I know it's back to school, Labor Day, NHL training camp. So that's number one. Two, we're getting a lot more tweets and things that are coming about from writers that usually take the summer off. Well, they're starting to get back into doing their phone calls and checking in on things. Three, and this
because
is the reason
Kadri
why.
Hasn't signed.
Because Kadri hasn't signed and the New York Islanders are holding up the process and all of that. Number three, and this is why I'm sporting the Blue Jays hat right now. If you're watching on MSG, if you're on the radio on WGR 550, I've got this beautiful Blue Jays hat that I bought last summer when the Jays were here in Buffalo. And the Jays need a little love. Like, it's countdown to the end of the season here, and I feel like the Jays are struggling. So because my son's a Baltimore fan, I don't know why he keeps cheering for that team, but they are making life hard for the Jays right now. So I'm hoping the Jays have a little love. And that's why cottage season's almost over, because it's feeling like playoff baseball is around the corner.
What other teams does Jacob cheer for? Now I'm concerned that he's never experienced any measurable joy in his young life.
No, he has experienced joy in his young life because he was a big Phillies fan when we were in Philadelphia, and they did win the World Series when we were there. He used to watch the Phillies all the
time.
How old
was
then,
he, four?
Well, he was like four or five years old. Like, we had a TV in his room, and every night he'd be like putting the Phillies game on and go to bed and fall asleep. Yeah. But once in a while, he'd run down the stairs from upstairs and Ryan Howard, home run, Chase Utley, home run, Jimmy Rollins, home run. He knew everybody, like Shane Victorino, like he knew all of these guys. Yeah. So it was really exciting. So he felt joy in that moment.
Yeah.
And he has had a few heartbreaks, but he's a huge Bills fan. So hopefully joy will be right around the corner with that.
You had a little more joy in your life last night, from what I understand.
Oh, thanks for bringing it up. I keep forgetting and you keep mentioning it. I wanted to start the show with this, but I want to thank Scott McManigal. Obviously, he takes care of us with the Sabres alumni and does a great job when it comes to appearances and events and things like that. But he is also the director of the Miracle League of Western New York. And he had sent out an email saying, hey, guys, the alumni, if you want to come to this game of beeper ball at our field in Grand Island, I would love to have you guys come out. So I'm thinking I'm going to cheer on a game of beeper ball. I'm thinking I asked my two youngest daughter, you guys want to go? Yeah. Okay. Let's go cheer on them. And let's go. No, it was literally me, Pat Coletta with his new fiance, Maddie. It was Maddie Ellis with his whole family. It was, you know what? I'm going to blame. Oh, Don Luce with three of his granddaughters. Me and my kids, Robbery was there. Mm-hmm. And we are playing beeper ball against a handful of Miracle League's visually impaired people, because beeper ball is a form of baseball for visually impaired. You hit a big ball, like a red squishy ball, like dodgeball, but it beeps. And the people in the field, if you are not visually impaired like we are, you put blindfolds on and somebody's guiding you. You got a guide, but they can't touch you. Mm-hmm. And they tell you to the right, to the right, to the left, and you try to catch the ball. In the meantime, the person that hit the ball is got to run either to first base or third base, being guided only with voice and the sound to get there. And if they get there before the ball is caught, then it's a run. If you catch the ball before the runner gets there, it's an out. We got beat. But We were told that was the closest game they've had against non-Beeper Bowl players in a long time. We lost 12-11 in the bottom of the last inning. And I blame it on coaching. Rob Ray, Don Luce, you guys did that was your fault. Their fault, the coaching. They send the wrong people in the wrong position. But it was so interesting to be able to feel like you have your blindfold on for a long time. And there's a lot going on. There's people cheering. You hear footsteps. And having to feel that, where the visually impaired people feel that all the time. Some never had sight. Some have lost their sight along the way. I'll tell you, it was very, very enriching experience. I loved it. And their field is great. And the people from the Miracle League are awesome. So it was fantastic.
Well, your dedication in part with especially Scott McManigal and the existing Sabres alumni here in Western New York have been, it's almost beyond words what your, shared desire, if you will, has been like with Miracle League to help it grow and grow and grow. I mean, it is just such an incredibly welcoming place. And every year it seems to just take another step as far as people getting on board to make it such. And I'm really glad that last night didn't get washed out. There was maybe a little fear of that potentially. So yeah, really, really, really wonderful to see that unfold.
It was Pat Coletta made me laugh so hard. So he hit the ball.
Let me guess, he got frustrated?
Well, not so frustrated, but he hit the ball. And the first time, you don't know what you're doing. So you're literally walking towards the base that you have to run to. If you hit the ball to the right side of the field, the left base, which is the third base, is going to beep. That's where you got to go. So they don't want people to run in the same direction and create collision if you can avoid it. But so the first time he walked to the base, right, not knowing how fast can I go. And then the Miracle League team, their first batter ran so fast to that base and tackled it like it was a football dummy, like just like I'm running towards that thing. Yeah. It was so we realized, oh, we can run a little bit. And then Pat Coletta, his second time at bat, I think, he hit the ball and then he's running, but he's running like he's doing dressage with the horses, where it's basically elevated and like slow step, like he's doing high knees in a slow motion as he's running, because he doesn't know how fast he's going forward. He just knows that he's putting the feet down on the ground. We were literally laughing just watching Pat doing his thing.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, obviously, we're less than a month from the Prospects Challenge beginning for the Sabres and company, as they will invite a handful of guests this year down to Lecom Harbor Center in mid-September to get going. They'll have a three-game run. The Sabres prospects will. It's a gathering, probably less so than a tournament. There's no ultimate winner. There's a disproportionate amount of games played by all the teams based on the fact that Pittsburgh's coming in just for a one-off. But the point of the matter is we're less than a month away from that realness of hockey in downtown Buffalo striking us once again. There are still free agents to be signed across the NHL, including Buffalo's own Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who needs to agree to terms on a deal. We've got three Sabre prospects in action in the World Junior quarterfinals, which are underway this hour in Edmonton, Finland, and Germany. Sweden follows with a game against Latvia. Canada takes on the Swiss, and the United States take on Czechia. Which Sabre prospects do you expect to be still standing after today?
Oh, I think the Swedes will obviously, in my opinion, will beat Latvia. Now, there's a little bit of a controversy with the Swede. Their goaltender, Jesper Wallstedt, was blamed for the loss against the Americans. They lost 3-2. I didn't think he was that bad, but I want to say I read that his coach basically said we needed a save to beat the Americans, and they lost 3-2 to the Americans in the preliminary round. In the fourth game, the Swedes went with their backup goaltender, who looked decent, did pretty good, gave up a bad goal the first one, but recovered nicely. I don't know what Sweden is going to do here. Do they go back with Wallstedt that when the coach basically blamed him for the loss to the Americans, or do they roll with their backup goaltender? I would assume Jesper Wallstedt is going to go back and Sweden is going to go right through, beat Latvia, go to the semifinal. I have a hard time thinking that that Czechia is going to beat the Americans. Czechia, number one, lost to Latvia the last game of the prelims that allowed Latvia to get into the quarters. That was a big surprise because the Latvians were not in Group A last year. They were relegated a few years back and made their way back to this tournament. So it was a surprise, in my opinion.
Yeah, keep in mind, not that I would ever suggest this being the case, but did it not prevent Slovakia from being in?
That's what I was going to say. I don't want to think that Czechia lost on purpose so that Slovakia was going to have to play in the relegation game. Actually, they are going to play against Austria if they haven't yet. Mm-hmm. I think it's coming up at some point. But yeah, Slovakia ends up not making through to the quarters because Czechia lost to Latvia. So I think that, to me, Finland, Sweden, Canada, U.S., those are the four teams that I think will advance. So we would not see Jiří Kulik advancing past the quarterfinals.
Well, allow me to be the guy that says, here's hoping Czechia defeats the U.S., because I'd love to see Jiří Kulik actually have a big, big, big day and then have the opportunity for us to continue talking about it. Did you know that the Sabres are going to be present, some of them, in the community this very weekend, thanks to the Buffalo Bisons, right? We're looking forward to having Pat Malacaro, voice of the Bisons, join us on the Friday show to promote Sabres night at the ballpark, right? It's a great time. The jersey auction, there is actually a jersey auction underway right now, running through today, which is going to benefit the Sabres Foundation. And then on, it's Friday. Pardon me. Is it Friday or Saturday?
Saturday's the game.
Saturday's the game. Pat's going to join us on Friday. On Saturday, though, the pregame autograph session will feature Buttes and Sabres, including, just added to the list, Owen Power. So this is going to be pretty great from a Sabres standpoint. Skinner, Oposo, Subban, and Power will be there.
Yes, and I believe, and I am going to sit, and I'm double-checking right now as my page from the Buffalo Bison schedule is loading up. I believe it's an afternoon game on Saturday.
No, 5 to 6 p.m. is the autograph session.
5 to 6 p.m. is the autograph. Okay, well, then I was looking at last week, so that's not good when you're it is a 6:05 first pitch on Saturday. So I'm glad that I corrected myself by not directing people to the field, Salins Field, at 2:00 in the afternoon for a 6:05 pitch.
So we look forward to, a perfect end of the week. Weather-wise, the Bisons are on, I tell you what, you start counting down on their schedule, a dwindling number of homestands here before it all comes to an end. So a great opportunity to be at the ballpark, enjoy the celebration of hockey, but also the Bisons' continued push for a playoff spot. Now, beyond...
I believe there's only two Friday night bash, like the Honda Friday night bash fireworks. There's this Friday the 19th and Friday the 26th. They're the only two left for people that like to go on Friday night. I would rather you go on hockey night at the ballpark Saturday, but if you like that those events, go Friday, Saturday this week. Catch a two games in 2 days, but there's only two. Those are usually those marquee nights on Friday night at the Bisons.
Bisons.com for all the information. And of course, from a Sabre standpoint, if you were with us yesterday, one of the talking points was, and this is very common at this time of year, lists and or, as I mentioned off the top, kind of clickbait questions on social media. But the NHL Network has been consistent in doing this the last number of years. As the summer winds down, they start unveiling by position their top players at each position, and they started with center position. So the fact that we reminded everyone yesterday that Tage Thompson maybe doesn't exist in some people's world as a centerman, despite a massive breakout season last year, which included 38 goals.
NHL.com's world, as you pointed out, does not exist.
It's almost unfair to NHL.com because it's my understanding that the basis for that needs to change within the real-time statistics, somewhere in the real realm of tracking. Although, having said that, there has been such great inconsistency between various NHL platforms over the course of time, whether you're utilizing a media-specific website, the old-style media guide and record book, or NHL.com. You know, like, it's... I get it. We live in a world where he's part of our top six. It doesn't matter. You know, if he's back in the defensive zone, he's first one back, he's technically the centerman, whatever. We all know well that Tage Thompson was assigned for the first time in the center position, and he excelled in it. So
I think what happens too is at the start of the season, the teams probably release their roster and they make the adjustment on height and weight and their statistical adjustments or whatever. And well, last year, if you were to say, what is Tage Thompson in training camp when you're working on it, you're putting him as a right wing.
Right.
And then all of a sudden season starts and he's playing center and you're like, oh, well, now it's been already inputted into the NHL.com system and it won't get adjusted until the year after. Now, this is the same as when Ovechkin found himself on the left wing ballot for All-Star at the end of the year and the right wing ballot because he had played both left and right and they didn't know if he was a left wing or right wing and people were putting him in both sides. Brent Burns playing forward and D. Like, we all knew he was a defenseman, but you know, this is, goes back to some guys back in the days used to complain that Lindy Ruff had a lot of points and was at times considered a defenseman. Well, he played a lot of forward position and was getting points that way. So the true defensemen were like, look, Lindy was really not a defenseman, but he did play both positions. So some people would say, oh, Lindy Ruff, there's a D next to his name for defenseman. Well, it was not really like that.
Not unlike the bigger offensive totals in Phil Housley's early years when Scotty Bowman employed him down the middle. Although that we have unearthed that, over time that, you know, that maybe weren't as many points scored at that position as some were led to believe. Anyway, we digress. Yesterday's list, pardon me, this week's list from NHL Network, as far as the top centers, included McDavid, Matthews, McKinnon, Dreisaitl, and Crosby as your top five. Barkov, Stamkos, Bergeron, Aho, Zibanejad, Braden Point, JT Miller, Lindholm, Kadri, Ryan O'Reilly, and then rounding it out was Eichel, Hughes, Malkin, Elias Pettersson, and Robert Thomas. So the natural follow-up to that is, and certainly trying to amplify the numbers that some have posted already and extended through projection as to whether we see a continuation in all likelihood from Thompson. Like, who's your next 20 here? Like, is Tage right on the cusp? There are obviously a lot of teams that were not represented in that group of 20 because we had five teams with multiple guys in there. So in a 32 team league, Marty, there are, if you're basing it all on strength down the middle, there's a lot of teams saying, holy cow, we need to get better in this position.
Yes. And there's a lot of teams that are saying, okay, well, we're good as an overall group. Like, we like the overall 1, 2, 3, 4 center. Some teams are like, we love that we have a stud and we can look at, you know, JT Miller, for example, and say, well, Vancouver has a stud, but they also have Elias Pettersson in there. So you're, but you're, I'm thinking at those two and I'm like, do they really fit my top 20? You know, so that's why yesterday we talked about it so much is I questioned a lot of these picks. I actually think that in my own personal belief, like a 38 goal center, like Tage Thompson, should be considered a top 20. There's 32. In my opinion, there's 32 number one centers around the NHL. Yes, McDavid and Dreisaitl both are considered centermen. So, you know, one of them is technically not a number one center because if McDavid is center, Dreisaitl is a number two center. Mm-hmm. But in all of 32 number one center around the league, how many of them scored 38 goals? Well, you know what? It's not more than 20, that's for sure. Right. Like, yes, you have the Matthews at 60 and you had Dreisaitl at 55. And, you know, but 38 is a big number. And for me, Tage Thompson should and would factor in at least the 18, 19, or 20, maybe 21, 22. But if you're giving me a plus minus 2, 3 spots, he had to have been really close to making the list or on the list.
But this list, like most lists, is not singular in season stats. It's cumulative and reputation, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Now, and you got to look over time and the body of work. And Sidney Crosby, number
Lindholm,
five.
Has obviously never been in there before, and he's in there right now. So give it time. I think for the sake of expediting this, are you okay with me just throwing you a whole list of names that I came up with that either have been in the top 20 or are presumably just outside of it and or their likelihood of being back in it anytime soon?
Absolutely.
Now, the unfair one, I mean, the guy obviously would have been, but now injuries have set him back. But Nick Backstrom, I mean, yes. Forever he's in this list, but now what?
Well, forever he was the yin to Ovechkin's yen, right? I mean, that was the Discover Card commercial or whatever it was, the insurance, the life insurance commercial, sorry, for Ovechkin and Backstrom. And Backstrom was the facilitator, probably the best passer, just like Joe Thornton was forever. And you all would have had Joe Thornton in the top 20 centers for a long time because of the ability of him to pass the puck and make Jonathan Chichu and Glenn Murray look like the way they did. Backstrom, not saying Ovechkin doesn't score 60 plus without Backstrom, but Backstrom was a facilitator. So I think Backstrom would have been the top 20 if healthy.
All right. They're a duo, that we know.
They're
real
a duo.
Quick. So just say yes or no as far as whether they should be in the top 20. Chandler Stephenson.
No.
Kevin Hayes.
No.
Let's assume full health. Sean Couturier.
Yes.
John Tavares.
Not anymore.
Thomas Hertl.
No.
I mean, at least made you think. Nick Suzuki.
No.
Nico Hischier.
Hischier's close.
Ante Kopitar.
Yes.
Vincent Trocheck.
No.
Philippe Deneau.
I'm going to say yes. I hate my answer but I've always been like, Philippe Deneau with the Montreal Canadiens, I'm like, he's not a number one center. He's a third line center, depth guy, defensive responsibility. And then he goes to LA, has his best offensive season, continue to perform. And I'm like, well, I'm eating crow over here.
Ryan Johansson.
No.
Joel Eriksson Ek.
No.
Ryan Hartman.
No, but I like him a lot.
Centered the most productive, arguably the second most productive line in the league this year.
Well, okay, but it's hard because so I'll say no a lot because those are the guys that probably would fit in the 15 to 20, but most likely 20 to 30, 35 range.
There's a lot of guys that rank 21st right now. That's the sense I'm getting.
And they're really good. Like, that's why I'm like, yeah, there's maybes in there.
Mark Scheifele.
I would have said yes every year, but I didn't tell you before the show. I am completely blacklisting the Winnipeg Jets, every one of them. The Jets as a team, their players, other than Kyle Connor, I think he's fantastic. So he'll be my unicorn with the Jets. Ding, ding. We should have a ding, ding every time we say unicorn. Connor Hellebuck, I'm not even talking about him. I'm like, I don't want
to
talk about
you. You're going to have to next segment, but anyway.
Well, I'll talk about him next segment if you want me to, but I'm like, Jets, Scheifele, nope. No, not
what
talking
happened?
About you guys.
Why are you so jaded all of a sudden? What happened?
Is I picked them to like go to the finals or make the playoffs and beat this good team for the last 5 years. And nada, nothing. They have the tools. They have the players. Never were able to put it all in the toolbox and close it.
Well, the good news is they barely changed anything. So if you want to stick with your prediction and give it another try, you know what you're getting.
Well, I'll say this. It's kind of like when the Vegas in their first year in the playoffs, I picked them to lose in the first round, picked them to lose in the second round, picked them to lose in the third round. I said, well, what the heck? They're going to win the cup now. And they lost the cup. So the 1 year I'm going to say Winnipeg, I'm not putting any thought in you at all. Maybe the year they do it.
Jonathan Toews.
No.
Josh Norris. He's paid like it.
I would like him to be considered. So I'm going to say yes, but these are yes that I would consider to have the talk.
Tim Stützle.
No.
Dylan Larkin.
No? Question mark?
Thank you, Wes McCauley.
Yes.
Making Tage money. Rope hence.
Yes.
This was an obligation due to salary. Tyler Seguin.
No. At 9 million, 9.5. What is he?
Matt Barzal.
Matt Barzal. No.
Brock Nelson.
Ooh,
he'd be big year.
Big year. I will say no, just because I feel like, again, maybe if I was covering the Islanders, I'd be pumping the tires of Brock Nelson. I'd be like, you're all over the place, but no.
Trevor Zegras.
I'm going to say yes.
The visuals were outstanding there. Good work. Tage Thompson for the 22-23 season.
Yes. Top 20.
Yeah. Nice.
I think for me, like, again, like those players that I said, yes, I could build a really strong argument that Tage Thompson, in my opinion, should fit into the top 20 centers right now, ahead of Robert Thomas, ahead of Evgeny Malkin, ahead of Jack Hughes, ahead of, I think, Elias Pettersson. Like, there's guys that I could build a case for Tage Thompson to be there. The same way I would build a case for Josh Norris, I would build a case for Brock Nelson. I'll build a case for a lot of those players that are on the cusp of being there. But again, you could definitely build a case for Robert Thomas. He was 20th in the list. To say, no, Robert Thomas deserves to be top 20. Okay, I'll accept that, but I'll also agree to disagree that let me build a case for Tage Thompson. 38 goals, come on.
World Junior update and goaltending discussion as it pertains to Buffalo and beyond. When we continue, Sabres Live after this, WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Well, we have also ventured into the time of the offseason where Jack Johnson has become news.
Yeah, well,
signing with the Chicago Blackhawks, a one-year deal, right?
Is it one-year deal, $975,000 or $950,000, some to less than $1 million. Listen, I mean, Jack Johnson, he's had probably some of the worst times over the last 12, 14, 15 years or whatnot. He's had the issue with his parents and the money and having to declare bankruptcy and been the whipping boy for analytics over years. And he's, you know, he was an LA draft pick, right? If I believe so. And then played in Columbus. But he did win a cup this year, and good for him. And you know what? Like, he wants to play hockey, and Chicago is willing to offer him a one-year deal at less than $1 million to do it. Keep doing it. Enjoy it. Play the game. So I'm all good with it.
What was the least relevant stop or the place where you got the least amount of notoriety in the course of your career?
Well, for me, and you know what? As I was talking about Jack Johnson, I thought about my time with the New York Islanders. Like, I literally was a year there. I signed late in July when free agency opened July 1. I signed late in July. I was there. I was supposed to be there just for a month or two while Rick DiPietro was getting healthy. Me and Ryan Rollison were going to play. Mm-hmm. I signed a one-year deal. I think it was over $1 million, but it was, you know, I was a number one goaltender for 2 years with the Flyers. Went to the conference finals both years in the playoffs. I mean, lost to Pittsburgh both years. Pittsburgh lost to the Red Wings in the finals my first year. Then Pittsburgh won. Like, I thought I was legit. I'm like, there's going to be phone calls. And then I signed this, like, one-year deal with the Islanders to be there. They had just got the John Tavares pick first overall. It was, I don't want to say meaningless because I have a lot of friendships and learned a lot of lessons there. But really, like, people are like, oh, yeah, you were with the Rangers, Marty, right? Yeah, the Flyers and the Sabres, too, yeah. Anybody, anywhere else? Yeah, the New York Islanders. Really?
Well, so...
Yeah, so I have to pull up pictures on Google to show them. Yeah, I was with the Islanders. See, right here.
So are you surprised, then, when someone comes up and remembers you specifically from your Islander days and or games?
I'm surprised when I do get fan mail, still cards, pictures, you know, it comes in weekly. I get them, sign them, send them back. And then at times I get these 8x10s with the Islanders and I'm thinking, you must be a big Islander fan. And I look at the address, like, is it like New York? Is it Connecticut? Is it, you know, like New Jersey? Like, I don't, because... Like, for what? I was there a year. I played barely 25 games, I think. I was the third goalie for a while, like watching games on the press box. Funny story. Marty Brodeur and the Devils came into Long Island to play us. I'm on the press box in the box right next to Lula Moriello. And I'm crushing popcorn all game long, right? I'm just like watching the game. Middle of the third period, I go downstairs. Brodeur got pulled in that game. Like one of the very few times Brodeur ever got pulled. I walked by the Devils locker room. Marty's eating pizza in the locker room. And I'm like, hey, Marty. He's like, Marty, come on in. I'm like, I can't. Like if Lou sees me in your locker room, he's going to go crazy, right? He goes, oh, come on, just one slice of pizza. And he's like trying to bait me. I'm like, well, I'm with the great Marty Brodeur. Like if Lou comes in, I can hide behind him. Like he's not going to punch Marty, right? He's like, he's not going to do anything to him. So, but anyway, it was one of those times where my New York Islanders years, basically the stories I remember are eating pizza with Marty Brodeur during a game or getting snowed in. My car wouldn't get out of the parking lot at the Nassau Coliseum that I went with Bruno Gervais and Kalaposo to their apartments. And I spent the night there and we played like board games all night and whatever. Like that's what I
and
remember.
Nobody knew you were missing. Is that
nobody called in, right? It was a bad year. It was a tough year. Like, you know, my kids were home. All three of them were home. Baby number four on the way. And I was away in Long Island. Like it just was a bad year.
You know how we often, I don't even know if we joke about it. I think we're sincere in wanting someone in our production group to step up and make a cameo on a daily basis, a la pardon the interruption and correct us on our mistakes. I think that would be fun.
It'd be awesome.
Shame on both of us for not having the instant default mechanism to realize that Jack Johnson, while debuting with LA, was not a Kings pick. He was third overall by Carolina.
Oh, yes.
And then traded with Tverdovsky to the Kings for Eric Bélanger and Tim Gleason. That was heading into the 06-07 season. So, and then he was part of the big Jeff Carter trade, which, you know, ended up seeing him end up in Columbus. But it was,
wasn't there a story that Jack Johnson wasn't going to go to Carolina though, that his name was.
Yeah, but that's the whole, that's the point. Like it should have been top of mind, but you know, 20 years onward, almost sometimes we forget these things.
It's 2005. You're right. Like that was a long time.
You're getting close to it. Yeah. Penguins, Rangers, Avalanche, and now Chicago Blackhawks for Jack Johnson. Now, very interestingly, I thought, and we do gloss over these sometimes, but, to our friends at Sportsnet, we will take the bait and simply dive in on this question before we get into fill in the blank to conclude the midweek episode of Sabres Live today. This is fun. You and I could talk and off air probably do talk about goalies 90% of the time. So they posted on Twitter, Sportsnet did, 5 goalies and you got to rank them. Now they left it open for interpretation. Like they didn't say, in what order would these 5 enter the Hall of Fame? How would you rank them based on save percentage, even strength save percentage, one-game win ability? You know, but the goaltenders are Freddie Anderson, Thatcher Demko, Connor Hellebuck, Jacob Markstrom, UC Saros. Rank the 5. So we're going to take the approach, or should I say, what approach are we taking, Marty, for this coming season? Like, you need a number one guy this year. Who are you taking?
To, like I say, as of today, which goalie do I like best? Because it would be this, like people ask me all the time, who's the greatest goalie of all time? Well, I break it down in 3, like regular season, playoffs, 1 game win ability, because it's hard. But this, I'm looking at it as who would I like now?
But can we do it like beauty contestant style and go in the reverse order?
Absolutely. And you make life so easy for me to go in reverse order.
So start with your number 5.
Well, first of all, for the radio audience, let's tell them the 5 goalies that Sportsnet put out there are Freddie Anderson of the Carolina Hurricanes, Thatcher Demko, Vancouver, Connor Hellebuck, Winnipeg, Jacob Markstrom, Calgary, and UC Saros of Nashville. So people are going to say, oh, no Vasilevsky, no Shesterkin. It's too easy to put those 2 in a category of themselves.
It's just a random 5. This isn't even a category. This is just somebody talking among their peers.
You know, they probably got to number 3 or 4 as who's the best goaltender in the league. And they're like, these 5 were being debated. So I'm going to start with out of these 5 goalies, number 5 for me.
Okay.
Connor Hellebuck. And I said it earlier in the show. I am not giving the Winnipeg Jets anything this year. Like, they've not shown it to me. I know the numbers are going to say, well, Connor Hellebuck last year in goals save above expectation was still top 10 in the NHL. Okay, good. But I don't feel like Hellebuck is the type of goaltender that for me right now would give me the same confidence factor as the other four goaltender in that list. So Connor Hellebuck, sorry, you're the fourth runner up, I should say.
My number five is Jacob Markstrom.
I am going to go
the end of last season left a bad taste in my mouth. And I have never been the biggest fan of Markstrom to begin with. So
I am going
I still recognize him as one of the better netminders in the game. To that, there is no question. But
I'm going to go right away to my four. Yes. Because it is Jacob Markstrom because of everything you just said, Duffer.
My four is Hellebuck.
So perfect. We crossed those two. But Markstrom, I was never a fan of Markstrom. He surprised me a lot last year. Was happy to see his athleticism and his battle in net and all of that. Yes, if it would have been Calgary going through the Oilers in the playoffs and continuing, I don't know that he's even on that list because we probably talked of him with Vasilevskiy and Shesterkin. But right now, Markstrom is the third runner-up, fourth place.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really even want to mention the Vas. This is not a five finalists for the Vezina. This is just literally somebody saying, so this has nothing to do with the other guys who aren't on this list. This is only at, so don't try to put it in a box where it doesn't belong here. These are just these five guys, and we're looking at them, and we've already crossed off Markstrom and Hellebuck, respectively. So we each have three left to name, going from three to two to one. Who's your number three?
Number three will be Thatcher Demko for me. I think he has a lot of promises, but he's still in that prove it to me kind of stage, in my opinion. But I like what his ability to move, like his width with his butterfly, his ability to cover low net. So I say Thatcher Demko is number three on that list of five goalies.
I put Freddie Anderson in there. Just wish he would have had more playoff time. Any playoff time would have been wonderful, but he has still seemingly fit in very well once again, as he has often acclimated nicely to whichever team he's been with. And we'll see whether he can, in fact, have that long, long playoff run before his career is done. Who's number two for you?
Well, number two is Freddie Anderson. And unfortunately, for some guys, I considered injuries as a big reason for dropping them spots. And for some other guys, I don't take it as much in consideration. With Freddie Anderson, at this point today, I'm thinking fully healthy. Freddie Anderson is one of the better goaltender in the NHL. So I had to put him at number two on the list. I totally understand how you dropped him to three. I think that's very, very reasonable if you are a little concerned about the injuries, but as talent alone and his playability, for me, is number two.
All right, so my number two is Thatcher Demko, which allows us to share the same selection at number one.
Which is a no-brainer with Jussi Saros. I mean, out of this group, and I know I've mentioned Vasilevskiy, Shesterkin as their own, but I almost feel like Jussi Saros, if you ask me, doesn't fit with the other five. He's at another level than the other four, I should say. So he stands alone on top right now. I think Nashville did a great job this year going to get Kevin Lankinen and as his backup. I think Jussi Saros will even have a better year because they'll rely on a better goaltender to help him to play more games. Last year, Saros played 67 games. That's a big number. Because Big Save Dave Riddick was not Big Save Dave in Nashville, and they couldn't trust him. So I look at the situation with Nashville also helping Jussi Saros take his game to a little bit higher level again.
Well, the one thing Nashville has, though, is still Connor Ingram, and he was the one tasked with playing an awful lot in the postseason because Saros was unavailable. And I think despite the obvious and expected results against the Avalanche, there were good, very good moments for Ingram amidst all of it. And it should allow him to have a little bit more confidence. Obviously, down the road, you know, they have their sights set on developing Askarov, who was the first round pick a couple of years ago. Now that they'll have him presumably under the watchful eye here in North America, we'll see how quickly his ascension goes. The Predators have been simply a model franchise when it comes to developing and or finding the next one as it pertains to,
for 20 years.
Oh, man, the succession plan. Like, years. I mean, to think you could have gone most recently from borderline Hall of Famer Pekka Rinne to UC Saros and really not miss a beat. It is remarkable what the Predators continue to do. And that's just a tip of it.
So. And the ability for the Predators to have guys like Dan Ellis and Chris Mason play big part. Thomas Vokoum, Mike Dunham, they always found good
Danny
goaltenders.
Ellis.
Absolutely. So they always found good goaltenders, and they keep finding them and playing them, and they're great.
All right. Fill in the blank is straight ahead, and there's some doozies. Stay with us on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Well, sorry you didn't get to indulge in what I just did the last 2 minutes, math with Marty off the air.
We'll do it tomorrow.
That's a segment for another day. Let's dive into fill in the blank as we continue here on this Wednesday. Do my eyes look like blank to you right now?
Surprised.
They don't look exhausted?
No.
Half-baked?
Surprised.
I spontaneously went to a concert last night in Pittsburgh, so drove back at, you know, started at 5 this morning, so it's been a little bit of a long day already.
Yeah, that's a long day. I should have called you. I was up at 4:30, so I probably should have called you and said, Duffer, what are you doing?
Yeah, well, now you know. Attendance at the World Juniors has been blank.
Expected. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of controversies and bad things that have followed Hockey Canada the last few months here, and it's a summer tournament. Look, this tournament is played in December and January usually, and the ticket price is expensive, but in the summertime, people want to be able to get away, and it's right before school starts, so to commit to going... I saw a tweet the other day. I said, it's good for this guy's dad to rent the whole rink because there was one person in attendance and they circled it. So that's basically what it's been.
They get a post game skate. I hope that would be nice. Blank will have the best chance to win their first ever Stanley Cup this year.
Okay. Well, there's 12 teams that have never won the cup. The Sabres are in this group of 12. I am going to say that the Nashville Predators have the better chance of winning their first Stanley Cup. We just talked about UC Saros being an elite goaltender. I think Nashville out of the group of 12. And if you want to go on Jay on SC, it's from our free Jay on rate at TSN. And that's where we got that from.
Blank will request a trade next season.
Oh, well, I'll go Pierre-Luc Dubois. I mean, is there a chance that this guy stays with the Winnipeg Jets all season long? And again, I'm going to keep putting it on the Jets, but Dubois is going to want to trade, and he'll be out this year.
Paul Friesen, by the way, had a very sarcastic column about the plight of the Jets today, if you want to look it up. The Bruce Cassidy mini statue in Vegas is blank.
It is better than the Cristiano Ronaldo statue from years ago. And that's the only thing I could think about is when they put up this golden statue of Bruce Cassidy, I'm thinking, why? Why a statue of the coach? But at least it was better than Ronaldo's.
Yeah, I agree with those who think it looks more like JFK. Blank is the most unbreakable sports record.
There is a lot of sports record that I believe will be stand forever. Okay, one that comes to mind is UConn's women's basketball to win 111 consecutive wins. I mean, but you look at Tiger Woods, 142 consecutive cuts. You know, Wayne Gretzky is point total in the NHL. There's so many unbreakable record. I believe, you know, some of them will stay forever.
Well, I'm not convinced.
And this list was from Sportsnet as well. That's a big list. There's some big records out there.
I'm not convinced this would hold up forever, but it might have a chance. If Patrick Reed wins his defamation lawsuit against Brandel Chamblee of Golf Channel, he's seeking $750 million plus. I mean, if he wins, that's going to be almost unattainable. We'll see you tomorrow on Sabres Live.